Welcome back. You're just listening to the piece from Hang Massive, and that piece was called Beats for Your Feet. As you can tell, it was a little more upbeat. We do have Patty Lightfly on the air, online, so if you want to say hello to us, Patty, that would be great.
Hello, everybody, and thank you, Judy, for inviting me to be on your show. I am so delighted.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a call and being willing to share your information. Let me share with everyone that Patty Lightflower has been reading hands locally since the early 1980s and via the Internet since the late 1990s, where she has become both nationally and internationally known for her holistic style of hand analysis. Over the years, Patty has practiced palmistry at many venues, including teaching palmistry and tarot at the Discovery Center in the late 80s and early 90s, and doing readings at events. She also produced the public access TV show Let's Get Metaphysical. She's forever a student, and she brings a number of divination skills learned along her path, and is a graduate of the Denise Lin Interior Alignment Instinctive Feng Shui program. She likes to physically express herself with rollerblading, hoop dancing, and the fighter arts. So, a wonderful, as they say, life experience. Rollerblading, hoop dancing, palmistry, living the gypsy life a little bit. And I think that is a part of an energy that I sort of see you as a wise woman with much to offer and share, and allowing your soul to be what guides you on your path, not kind of out of the box. And, of course, palmistry is one of those things that is out of the box. So whatever got you interested in, as they say, when we're young, what made you decide, when I grow up, I want to be a palmist or a hand analysis?
Oh, what a full description of me. I think the only thing you left out, well, you kind of copied it from some of the places I wrote about myself, but the fiber arts. But yes, everything is there. That's me, kind of a woman, gypsy lady who loves to play and figure people out, figure life out. What got me into the earliest I remember is in high school, buying my first book on palmistry. That was by, what's her name, Elizabeth Daniel Squires, her book, The New Fortune in Your Hand. And from there, I read anyone's hands that would stick them out for me. And over the years, I think I moved a little bit into tarot for a few years in astrology. And then in the early 80s, I think it was what it at the 80 or 81, you told me that there was a class at the University of Cincinnati, two classes, one in astrology and one in palmistry. And you said, why don't I take the palmistry class and you take the astrology class and we'll share with each other? And that was, what, 33 years ago, and we were still sharing.
Yes, it has been. It's funny when you were saying that, and I was thinking, oh, I don't think I can remember the years, but it has been quite a while, this journey of being able to connect the world of trying to figure people out and wondering, is this real? Can it really happen? And, you know, it's so funny sometimes. It's the questioning rather than just the embracing. Like, we question, why is it that we, as I said, grew up to do things like this? But I think it is an internal calling. And you, by all means, Patty, are making strides in the world of palmistry because of the research that you do and the way that you actually approach it. You are extremely detailed in the way you do approach palmistry. Not only have you, where I'm more interested in, just tell me what it means. You have the approach that not only do you want to know, tell me what it means, but you want to know why it got there, how it got there, and understand what it means. So you have an interesting approach to what you do with palmistry. Why don't you share with us a little bit about how, what is your personal approach and what is it that you think about it? Give us a little bit of information about that approach.
Well, I think early on, for the first 10, 15, maybe almost 20 years, it was more reading, using the skills that I picked up from other teachers, from books, and applying them when I was out there reading hands. And then I would listen to this feedback. And over time, I would hear the same feedback for certain teachers, or at least the feedback had the same underlying essence to it. So it wasn't always the same exact experience, but the underlying result or how what the person was going through with this was the same. And over time, I could look at certain features and kind of know, almost feel the feeling the person was experiencing. And again, it's mainly because it's a mixture of empathy and as well as listening to the feedback and that kind of acquiring it over time. And with so many people telling me how right I was and me seeing the results of how right I was, it wasn't just them telling me, they would show me what they do or who they were. And I'd be, wow, I described you. I may not have known who you were, but I described you and what you do completely. And people would often say that my readings were very similar to having gone, you know, like in a few minutes, an hour or so, I've covered a whole bunch that it took them months, weeks, years to work with a therapist and find that out. Although the therapist is helping them do things with the information, I was able to read it and point it out to them very quickly because that's the information that's in the hands. And I wanted to know why, how. I could see that the information was being able to be read from the hands, but I wanted to understand why it could be. So I got into reading more biology books and trying to understand how the hands develop and following the from the very cellular level from the beginning, right after fertilization, when you have these eggs, there are the cells that are divided. And I want to come back to the cells because that is such an important area. But being able to see that the lines start to form 6 to 8 weeks after conception, the lifelines first, and a little bit of it can be seen in some hands around 6 weeks, others it's closer to seven. And then the heart line begins to form, and then later the head line forms, and about the same time the head line is forming, the ridges are starting to form. And all of these are starting to form in these early weeks. And the things that I am reading in people's hands are things that are forming at a very early time. And I thought that was profound, that who we are we're becoming who we are before we even born. Our personalities, our reactions to things, what we gravitate to, what we pull away from, and about our experiences after we get here. It's really a lot about how we're developing, which would be our genetics, and there's epigenetics and so many aspects there. One of the things, you had Bruce Lipton on a few weeks ago, and I bought his book, I don't know, maybe it was 2 years ago, The Biology of Belief. And of any book besides the palmistry book, that book I would highly recommend is Having With Your Palmistry Books, because he goes through how we work on a biological level, how we function, and how he mentions that the skin or the membrane of the cell is the brain. And that's one of the things that is, that, well, in palmistry, they've often said that the hand is a printout of the brain, especially after the computers came into being. So we knew that our hand and our brain were connected from a long time ago. And when the hand is developing, are coming down, the cells are coming down, creating the nerves. The nerves are connected to the heart, to the brain, to the stomach, to other vital organs. And everything that we are is really being imprinted in our hands. And our hands, I think a lot of people don't realize that skin is an organ and that there's three particular areas of the body that are extremely sensitive to touch, and our hands is one of the most sensitive. And the sense of touch goes beyond just reaching out and touching something and feeling it. It relates to hot and cold, wet and dry, soft and hard, sharp, pain, dull, pleasure, and all kinds of sensations. And we pick up vibration with our hands. We pick up, pretty much, they're antennas. So we pick up what's going on in the world, and we also send our energy out. We touch as well as being touched, and we project our energy. You see people pointing, shaking their finger at others, or giving speech with their hand pointed up in the air, and maybe shaking it too. So there's this, and also performers. If you're watching performers on a stage, you can often see Rami and New Zealand. I don't know if you're listening now, but you're the one that pointed this out in particular, how the tips of the fingers can even bend back when they're so energized. And if you look at other photos of them not performing, the fingers are not as bent back like that. So you definitely can see this energy moving out, being put out there in the world.
One of the things that is sort of an old quote, a very, very, very old quote, but and some people may not believe this, but I believe it was, Job 13, I don't remember if I have the exact, it's been a long time since I've quoted it or even thought about it, but that he sealeth it up on the hand so all men may know their work. And there is this imprint, and as you said, the story is starting to be developed even before we're born. So it's as though we get this guide, and it's all in the palm of our hands if people choose to look there. And what a gift that if our path or our sense of self-understanding could be known just by looking at our hands. As you state, that our hands have so much that they do. They send, they receive, they touch, all the things that you mentioned. And they're such an important part. And yet, so many people don't realize that there's a story there. I believe it's one of the many paths. There are other paths, but this one we contain. We have on our bodies.
We carry it with us, yeah.
Right, we carry it with us. It's a fun story. I kiddingly tell the young children whenever I'm around that there's a story if I'm reading at an event or something, and they would ask, how do you do this? And I'd say, well, just like reading a book, there's a story in your hands, and I'm going to read your book. I'm going to read your story for you. And so why don't we take a step back a little bit, and for people who may not be as versed in the art of reading hands, why don't you tell us what it is that you look for in, what are you looking at? What it is that, what do you see when you look at hands?
And there's so much, it's so many layers that you kind of layer together as you're doing the reading that tells the story. I think the first thing that catches your eye is the shape of the hand, and that's sort of like a posture as well, how the hands are being held, if the fingers are curling in, if they're leaning this way and that, bending, if they've bent a certain way for a long time. For instance, if you put your hand out in front of you and you open your palm and then relax a little bit and look to see which fingers just kind of want to curl back up and won't open up. If it's all of them, you probably stayed up all night last night and you're tired. Because that's usually when they want to curl, that usually means you're ready to go take a nap. But if only one or two fingers tend to want to kind of curl in, that would show an area of the life that someone's dealing with in that moment, or they're uncomfortable with, or they're surrendering or resisting, depending on what's going on. So you look at the posture of the hands, you look at the different sections of the fingers, and you compare their length, which is the longest, fattest, thinnest, shortest. You check the texture of the hand. You kind of squeeze it to see if it's, which you can't do when I'm doing online, but you've got to experience. You kind of, from looking, you get an idea of the texture and how soft or flexible or hard it is. So you look to the, you touch it yourself, and you look for that sensation, what you're picking up from them. And then you look at the creases. And you look at the ridges. The ridges are like your fingerprints. It's called dermal hieroglyphics. And they form patterns all across the palm, fields of patterns. And you look at these, the ones are a little bit different. Some of it's a little genetic and runs in families, so everybody's got their own variation, their own unique style. And you put all of this together, I'm sure I'm missing something, summing it up, the mounts. The mounts are important. And there's two subjects there. There's the mounts that are considered more the traditional areas of the palm, but there's also what's called the volar pads, and these relate to more in when the hands are developing. These are more the full areas, kind of in between the fingers. If you put your hand out in front of you, usually you'll see at least three. Maybe one. Balder kind of under, at the top of the hand, up under the fingers, and then there's usually a bulge kind of between the thumb and under the head line and above the thumb, between the thumb and index finger. And then the big mount, the third mount, or the third section of the thumb is from the palm, that's usually bulging. And then over on the other side, you have the bulges there. So those are the volar pads does form early, and actually the patterns, the dermatoglyphic patterns form on these volar pads, and that's why they're important in a different way than even the mounts that you would look up in palmistry books. And, flexibility. I see the lines as, it used to be this game that you could have as a kid. Maybe they still have it. And it was kind of a light box where you stuck these different pens in to create a pattern of lights. And I think there's like this grid across the hand. In fact, it's called a matrix. There is a grid. The energy goes all through this, and the ridges send signals individually back to the brain, whereas the rows of ridges will send energy that's more in a wave. So what we're touching is sending signals back, and these kind of show how we pick up and react and respond to things based on where we're seeing this flow of energy and the patterns in the palm. The creases would be dividing the different fields in a way. So we often, when we're reading, we're talking about how the energy flows, and yet at the same time, when we're looking at the fields of ridges, we're seeing flow in the pattern. So the creases are actually, in many ways, directing that energy, creating channels. I'm trying to think. I guess matrix is still the best word I can think of because of all the interconnecting of the whole palm. And actually, when the hand, when the skin ridges, it forms as a matrix, and then it kind of, because of tension, it pulls together into these rows that we see as the ridges, but like fingerprints again.
So there's a lot that you take in when you're looking at the hands, the skin ridge patterns, the shape of the hand, the texture, all of these different things are a part of it. Let me ask you just a few questions that, once again, maybe our listening audience would wonder about. As you know, your study has taken you to great depths, and once you acquire the knowledge, it's not easy for you to release that knowing. Yet people, when they sit down to get their palms read, a lot of times they want to know, how many children am I going to have? Am I going to be happy in marriage? And what about my job? And, you know, these are the basic questions that people will often ask. Let me ask you just a few common questions. Do you believe there are children lines and marriage lines in the hands? And you can give me short, quiet answers because I have lots of these. just as a quick generalization. Do you believe...
The children lines... Yes?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The children lines, I see them as well. They're traditionally seen, at least in Western palmistry, as the vertical lines that rise up from the marriage line on the side of the hand under the little finger, so between the heart line and where the little finger connects to the palm, there's a horizontal line there. And actually, to speak of that line first, which is relationships, I don't see it as relating to marriage per se. I don't see it, like if you count the numbers of them, I don't see it so much as how many marriages that you're going to have. And I don't see... the kind of match, but sometimes I can. Sometimes I don't want to say that absolutely, but it just depends on what I'm looking at in the moment. I think the quality of that line relates to how a person can commit and bond to someone. And it's not commitment as loyalty commitment or responsibility commitment, but it's more of a sense of being able to surrender, to become one with someone, to bond. And it doesn't have to be, it can be this personal relationship of a marriage, but it can also be best friends for life show up there. Pets will show up there. Pets will especially show up as children lines more often than, because I read them as attachment lines, or those that we dote on and take care of. So people that dote on their pets, they'll have lots of children lines. And I notice teachers have lots of children lines. So people that live with children or have lots of little ones around them that they're nurturing and growing, helping them become themselves, those would represent these children lines. The children lines seem to actually activate when someone's going through something, a parent is dealing with a teenager, like a 13-year-old daughter, or the infant, or the toddlers in their terrible twos. You can see that particular line that represents that child will have some color on it, like blue or red or white, depending, even if the parent is worrying about the child because they're ill, it shows too. But it's not a prediction of those things. It's more the person whose hand you're reading is worrying, concerned, or irritated, or it's their emotional reaction to one of their attachments. So that's how I think the children lines. I know there's other ways.
One of the other questions that I personally do not connect with personally, but how long am I going to live? Somebody told me I was going to die young. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions about palmistry. And it's also, personally, to me, one of the ones that I find disempowering for the individual. What is your approach about it?
Well, first I'll quote Neil Young and say, may you always be forever young. You're going to die young. And I often joke when people ask that and say, well, until you die. And how long will I live? Well, until you die. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I actually have experienced someone dying after I did a reading. They went in a car accident. It had nothing to do with my reading, but hopefully. But I read it in the newspaper a couple of days later, and I remembered her hands. I remembered her energy. And she was in the process of being promoted, moving to a higher level. And I was telling her all about this new adventure she was heading into. I had no sense of that she was about to leave this world. And I've read people who did leave this world with because of AIDS and cancer and other illnesses that were, you know, that they had no way of recovering from. And I could read their hands, and they had the longer lifelines. And actually, in many ways, up until closer to the end, their hands looked pretty strong. And you see some things breaking down, but in other areas, they look very healthy. So I don't think that anyone who is predicting someone's death is really using the hands to do it. I think they're being psychic, and if that maybe, I think there's so many possibilities to our future, so many potential avenues that our psychic can often be picking up on one avenue, and we have all these other avenues that we can go down. So in that sense, they can put a seed or focus someone in a direction they may not have gone in if they hadn't put them in that direction.
Right.
So I think we should be careful about what we do in that sense.
Right. I agree with you on that. And again, I'm thinking of our listeners out there and the ones that are looking at their hands while we're talking and looking about things. And, you know, so you've basically told us that the lifeline will not tell us necessarily how long we're going to live. I personally believe that the lifeline tells us how we live, and there's events and experiences that are influenced with the lifeline being able to share that. So that information comes from the lifeline. And I guess one of the other questions that I hear, again, the most often is, people asking me, well, when will I fall in love and when will this happen? And taking away from the idea of the lines in the relationship area of the hands, one of the things that I basically share with them is I can more tell you how you love rather than when, whether or not there's blockages to that or experiences that you need to overcome. So what do you think as people in general, and I know there's so much more to look at than just the lines, but that's what the general person can see, is the lines when they look at their hands and their creases, and they may know that it's the heart line, the head line, and the lifeline, and those are the basic energies that most people think the palm reading is all about. So just give us a quick generalization, because I want to get into one of the reasons that we're even having you on today. You have a lot going on in our community, and I'm excited to talk to you about that. So what do you think that the heart line and head line do for us, for the general person listening to the show?
The heart and head line?
Yes.
Well, I think our heart line shows how we can accepting us people getting close to us, and how we show our emotions, and how we show our emotions are the greater of that. But it's how we give and receive our emotional energy. And the straighter that line, usually the more intellectual, the more reserved, the more emotionally distant a person appears. And I say appears because on the inside, they may have lots of emotions going on. You have to look at all the other features to find out more how that energy is being used. But the straighter the heart line, usually the less emotionally attached, emotionally involved, the emotionally showing what they're feeling. And then as it curves up towards the fingers, and you can kind of see that as a spectrum as it's getting closer and closer to bending in tightly, as it kind of is curving, relaxed towards the index finger, that's more people. They like to show their feelings. They're pretty much open. They tend to be relatively trusting, and they like to, well, as I said, share and open up and share their feelings and communicate with others. And then when it comes up kind of between the curves and then index and middle fingers, then it's kind of balanced, a little bit of that and then a little bit of what I'm about to say. As it pulls up towards the middle finger up under it, it adds it's a very strong knee orientation, and it's I think of mother hands. That's the first thing that comes to mind when I see that. That I see that wrapping around is like a wing wrapping around whatever it is they're protecting. So they come across as protective, helpful, nurturing. But underlying that is also a little bit of possessive, controlling. This is mine, kind of thing. So it kind of moves from that straighter, which is more distant, to that deep curve, which is really very close and personal. And how close the line curves up to the fingers. If it stays away from the fingers, that's a little bit of a distance a person might keep, as well as the closer it comes up to the fingers, the closer. And then the husband will see that as more how a person thinks, how they process their thoughts, how they get if they're absent-minded at the beginning or lost in thought, or if they're alert, sharp, that would show how the beginning of the headline starts. And if they're a team player or if they're more of an individual, that would show in if the headline, lifeline, it's a message. And then as the headline moves across the hand, it has its own being straight and curved. And both of these lines, the headline and the heart line, kind of have forks and branches and extra lines kind of parallel to it that increases its energy. As the headline moves across the hand, the shorter is usually on people that tend to think on their feet. So the longer it is, the person pretty much wants to spend some time thinking things out. The more it bends downward, the more abstract and imaginative the person is. And the straighter across is more efficient, practical. Well, I'd say efficient would be shorter, but it would be more practical, business-minded, money-oriented. In fact, straighter is usually people that would save money, where bending downward like to spend it. And if you have a fork going in both directions, you might tend to save up for buying larger things, for spending more money on something like a car rather than lots of little gadgets. And then the distance between the heart and the headline can show how, in many ways, a person's preferences, how strong they are in standing up for what's important to them, or how open they are to checking out other ways of looking at being more flexible. And then the quality of these lines, if they're thin, if thick, if they're chained, if they're not chained, or have islands in them, or if they're broken in pieces, or if they're overlapping. And also these two lines, the heart line, I read it, I've read it this way for many, many years, is relating to the teeth and the mouth. So when you're holding tension in your mouth, it shows up in the heart line. And when you're holding tension in the head, like having headaches, and this has been known for a long time, headaches show up in the head line. So the head line tends to be like part of the face that's nose down. And the heart line, I mean, sorry, if I get backwards, the heart line is nose down, there's mouth, and then the head line is kind of nose up. And the tensions that you can see in these lines, you can kind of look and tell where they're holding tension in their face, in their head, what area of their life, I know the different territories of the hands, you know what areas of life is causing them to deal with this pain.
So there's really many, 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 as you said, factors, even within the lines, within all the experience of the hand. It's a wonderful symbol language. And if you're interested, and if Patty has enticed you to want to know more about what the story is in your palms or in your hands, you can check her out at ireadhands.com. Again, that's ireadhands.com. And we're talking to Patty Lightflower, who is a wonderful, well-known palmist, also tarot card reader, and has many other insights that she's been working to enhance through the years. So again, if you would like to connect with Patty, the website is ireadhands.com. I want to remind you that you're listening to WAIF Cincinnati. This is Ways of a New Age, and I'm Judy Peace with you this afternoon. Again, our guest is Patty Lightflower. And Patty, talking about one of the main reasons that we actually have you on here today is that you're branching out in the community, and we wanted our community to know that this is a possibility now that we've enticed them to look a little bit deeper into their own palms and to go to someone who's very well versed in the knowledge and the ability to read this information. Why don't you tell us where people can connect with you and what you're doing out at the Elemental Ohm?
About that, and I'd also like to tell you what I'm doing in the world, and then I'll bring it in closer. I have a forum. It's called Hand Analysis of the Future. People should be able to Google that or just type in handanalysisofthefuture.com if they're interested in communicating about palmistry. It's not a place for asking for free readings, but it's a location to discuss the different features and share information with each other. And I'm also participating in something that is so fun. It's called the 500 Hand Project, and I've participated in it 3 times. It's where a mystery hand is put out there, that handprints are, and they're given to everyone that wants to look. And you try to read the hands and guess who it is. You look for their challenges and what is their purpose in life and basically what they do. And I love that. That's one of the things I enjoy most doing. So I jumped right in when I saw it. And I'm featured in the last 2 of his videos. The different people. The last one, I'm not sure if I can pronounce her name, was Miss Switzerland. And I didn't guess Miss Switzerland, but the businesswoman was definitely in there. And this is being produced by Brent Brennan. And he's from Texas originally. He's now living in Switzerland. And he just completed, I think he's working on the video now, but he's just completed this last project that I got to guess at. And I was, as far as exactly who he was, I didn't guess, but as to exactly what he was into, how he used his energy, I did. And the person of the latest one is Robert Schneider, and he's an internationally known scuba diver by Scuba Lessons. And he's very much in the water. And I mentioned a lot of times about flowing and his liquid energy. But I think people would enjoy checking into that. There's YouTube videos there, and there's lots. And go to the page for 500 Hand Project, the information there. And then what I'm doing. Recently, I've taken on a space and joined the team at the Elemental Om, our yoga studios, and I'm at the studio in Lebanon. I have my loft space up there, which I've been slowly decorating. I'm going to add some more pictures soon to show how it's going. And not in that, the space is where I'm going to be doing readings, and I'm doing readings, let me say it that way. And the rest of the studio, I have opportunity to use it for different classes. So Thursday nights, starting September 12th, this will be Thursday evenings from 7 to 9 at the Lebanon Studio, and that's 46 East Mulberry, and the zip's 45036, if anybody wants to put it into their GPS. I'll be doing the classes there from September 12th to October 10th, that's 7 to 9. And on I'm going to do afternoon classes after that. That will be October 24th to 1st, 12 to 2. And I'm going to rotate it. I'm going to keep going and do the evening classes and the afternoon classes. And that way people who have different times of the day available will be able to take one of my classes. And what I hope from these classes that I pull people that are passionate about this, they're excited about it, and we can become more of a group that continues to do research together and come up with things to expand our knowledge. I'm also doing readings there, like, throughout the week in the afternoons. On Fridays, I'm available for walk-ins, basically from about 1 to 4, maybe a little earlier, a little later. And then the afternoons, they can schedule me by appointment. And another thing that I'm looking forward to doing there is, you mentioned my hoop dancing. I love hula hooping. And I love exercising when it's play. So the rollerblading and the hoop dancing is basically my idea of exercise. And the hoops, I make my hoops, and I want to have a hoop making class. And the hoops have a little bit of water in them. And water energy is something that a lot of people have been talking about now, how the consciousness of water, how water is affected by our consciousness. And we definitely need water to live, the water energy. And then that little sand in it, and sand quartz crystals. And so this, and you're spinning in it. So you're creating this kind of a wand of your own intentions, adding your own colors to the outside. So that's the fun part about making it. And then dancing. Dancing with the hoop is a really a good good exercise. It strengthens your inner core. And rollerblading then adds the muscles. You do both. It's a good workout. And I'm also excited to be able to facilitate similar workshops that kind of relate to interpretation of people or divination. And Eli Shava, I've known her a little over 3 years, I think, maybe around 30 years, mid-80s, that I met Eli. And she teaches lot casting, Hebrew lot casting. And it's one of the most amazing classes I've taken in a long time. She's a great storyteller, and she has a lot of information to share. And working with the lots is interesting. I've done readings with you, and we've both been just amazed at how simple it is working with it, but yet it really answers your questions and to the point. So she's going to be coming in September 23rd, and it's an 11-week class. And so I think that's Monday evenings. I don't have the time written down, but I think it's 7-ish. All this information will be in Whole Living Journal in the next issue, which will be out, I think, at the beginning of September. So I don't think I left anything out. My life is so busy. I'm doing a lot of things in a lot of directions right now, but I'm loving all of it.
Yes, it's an 8-year for you, so it's a year of attainment, and you are working towards that sense of holding the space and bringing it to manifestation. So congratulations, Patty, for taking... I mean, it's not so much that you haven't been doing this through the years, because you do a lot of entertainment, you do a lot of personal readings, you do a lot of studying. But anytime we make a change or anytime we make a move, you know, there's that question is, well, is this the right direction to go in? Should I be doing this? So here at Waves of the New Age, we hold space for your success, and that we hope that the community will respond. Continual success for the Elemental Om and your expanding experience that you were also bringing to it. I know that Pam is a good friend of Tara's, and so Pam has been on the show a number of times sharing with Tara about all the wonderful energy that goes on at the Elemental Om, and you are just one more facet of that energy that continues to bring healing to the consciousness of those around. We talked earlier, and as I said the word healing, this will be a good place for maybe us to bring our conversation to an end. Is you had said to me earlier the idea of that you'd like to share with your students about the ideal that palmistry is actually being a healer. Would you like to share that?
Well, it's a quote that I've admired for many years. It's from Jack Schwartz, and it's entitled Healing, Love, and Empowerment. And what he says, and I'll read it since I can say it faster that way, and I have it folded up in front of me here on my computer. He says, in my view, no one comes into this world without a function or without the tools to fulfill that function. One of the best reasons for staying healthy is to express that function to its fullest extent. So if we are unclear about what that function is, our motivation to stay healthy will be diminished. Thus, people often need to have their attention drawn to the untapped potentials they have not yet fulfilled, either because of a particular belief system, because they have been holding back, or simply because of a lack of awareness. In any case, by drawing attention to these potentials, therapists can help people clarify their purpose and strengthen their will to live. This is one of the most powerful therapeutic tools used, in one way or another, by all successful healers, whatever their particular system or technique. Jack Schwartz, Healing, Love, and Empowerment.
So helping people find their path is the process of healing.
Yes.
Thank you so much for ushering in the process of healing for so many. And as you said, there's many times that as we communicate with people, someone will say, oh my goodness, it took my therapist 6 months to find that out about me, and you knew that in 5 minutes. It is a wonderful tool for insight. So if you are interested in connecting with Patty Moore, again, you can find all her information from her iReadHands.com website. She also has a blog there that she has a lot of different information. She has one about Leonardo. You have one about Obama and Prince William, about being left-handed. And there's a number of... Oh, you have Walt Disney. Wasn't there one about him as well there?
Not about him, yeah. That's a coming attraction. But when you mentioned Leonardo da Vinci, they have a fingerprint out there, a print out there that they're calling a fingerprint. And in my blog, I point out that it can't really be a fingerprint, that it's really a palm print.
Right.
Yeah, check that out.
Check that out. It's fun, right. And you know what? I mean, I too, and I feel like I'm, you know, at this point of understanding, and I immediately thought that's not a fingerprint. But I, again, thank you so much for giving us a call and calling in. We would hope that you will continue to keep it tuned right here at 88.3 FM. This is WAIF Cincinnati, and you're listening to Ways of a New Age. Thank you, Patty, for giving us a call and having conscious conversation with us.
Thank you, Judy, for having me here, and thank you to all my friends that are listening in out there all around the world. I appreciate that. Hello to you. And goodbye.
All right, bye. We are going to take a little bit of musical break, and I'm going to play one more piece of Hang Massive before we end here, and this one is called Once Again. Again, we're glad to have had Patty Lightflower on, sharing with us in depth about palmistry and how it's a tool to understand yourself, the path to healing. If you'd like to know more about Patty, again, you can connect with her at iReadHands.com. If you're interested in a class, they're starting at Elemental Om. So check it out at iReadHands.com, Patty Lightflower. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that a nice, upbeat little tune? It's from Hang Massive. If you think it's fun listening to it, you should see them play. Again, Danny Kerr, C-U-D-D, and Marcus Johanna. Right, that's it. Danny Kerr and Marcus Johanna, Hang Massive. And that last piece was called Once Again. We hope you enjoy listening to Ways of a New Age, where we bring sounds and conscious conversation every Tuesday from 3 to 5. So make sure that you keep that tuned in every Tuesday. Tara Robinson is on break and having a wonderful vacation. I come in once a month to anchor down the Ways of a New Age and to give Tara a break. Ways of the New Age was created in 1988 by myself and Randy Bruner. And we are very, very honored that Waves has continued since 1988 every single week to the community to continue to bring soul-filled sounds and conscious conversation. It's all volunteer, and if you would like to become a member and support Waves of the New Age, WAIF Community Radio is solely supported by its membership under contribution. Memberships can be attained at any time by calling 513-749-1444 or 513-961-8900. Membership is granted to anyone donating a minimum of $25 to the Real Stepchild Radio of Cincinnati. Membership includes voting rights at the annual membership meeting. In addition, all members receive our program guide and the WAIF alert. Please make that call today, 513-749-1444, and support Waves of a New Age. If you'd like free gardening advice, you're wondering what's going on with those impatiens, or why can't I grow the azalea now that I've moved to Cincinnati? What is that bug? How do I prune my hydrangea bush? Now getting answers to your gardening question is easy. You can visit online at Civic Garden Center or call the Civic Garden Center gardening hotline at 513-221-TREE or 8733. Volunteers staff the hotline desk from 9 to 1 p.m. That's Monday through Friday. Next week, our guest is going to be Ron Esposito. He's coming in to talk about the release of his new CD called Soul Burst. I hope you'll join us for that conversation and listening to some of the wonderful pieces that Ron has on his new CD. Ron is someone that helped support Waves for about 5 years here and came in every other Tuesday to hold down the studio and to share with us his wonderful knowledge of music and also his insights. So I'm sure it's always a pleasure to have him visit us here again at WAIF, and it's also a pleasure to help him inform others that he has a new CD out. You can check out this new CD from his website as well, which is ronesposito.com. And that's E-S-P-O-S-I-T-O, ronesposito.com. And let's listen. I'm very sad. I opened my CD for Soul Burst, and it's not here. So someone got gifted again with the second CD of Ron Esposito's. So we're gifting people here at WAIF this CD. But we are going to listen to one of my favorites of his from the Open Heart CD. This one is called Nebula. If you'd like to give me a call, the number is 513-961-8900. We'll be listening to some music, but I'd love to hear from you. 513-961-8900.